You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey. Formerly Bulletproof Radio.
A state of high performance.
This is a live in-person interview at the Biohacking Conference. This is my 7th annual conference in 9 years, thanks pandemic. And it's looking to be our best conference ever, and that means that some really interesting people are in the same building as me because they're speaking or exhibiting at the show. And I'm taking advantage of this opportunity to do in-person interviews where there's always a different energy than what you can do when you're remote. And today's guest has explored shamanism, past life regression, yoga, meditation, energy fields. Oh, and was a VP at T-Mobile and has a very successful career working in the wireless industry, in the blockchain industry. So this is one of those times we get to pick the brain of someone who has been very successful in kind of the main world in a similar way to what I did, but is willing to talk about all of the mystical stuff, the energy stuff that many successful people do or know about or have gifts in, but don't talk about. And part of the cool thing with biohacking is when we have the data, we start seeing that there are things that we don't talk about or things that we didn't know about. And I think you're going to find some fascinating stuff here because we're going to go into the quantum realm. And don't worry, I won't misuse the word. Now, if I haven't already piqued your interest, well, our guest, Philip, is from Germany, and his full name is Philip von Holtzendorf Fehling. And I said that perfectly. Did I not, Philip?
Absolutely. Yep.
You, in your story, and we were talking before the show, you said, look, you started seeing energy fields. So, did you call a psychiatrist when this happened?
Actually, no. Okay. And... So the story really was that I was already in my corporate career. I'd worked for small, medium, and large giant companies. But in the early 2000s, really, that happened that I started to become really interested in what's really behind everything. So I started to dive into that with a classic kind of like yoga, meditation kind of stuff. And then I met my wife in 2005. And my wife was actually born with the ability to see aura and see things that we would call the unseen, mm-hmm. right? And she never lost that connection. And
wow.
Yeah, and so that catapulted me a little bit more into this other world, right, if you will. So understanding that there's even more than I had thought that there is already more, but then I realized, wow, this world I had no idea about. And I started to explore that even more. And I went through shamanic workshops and learned how to do past life regression work with people and all that kind of stuff and become really interested in it. It was also frustrating in between because I was one of these guys that had really lost this total connection. Like 5 years prior to that or 10 years prior to that, you would have found me completely cut off from my feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. I would just work fully from my brain and that was my world, right? And everything else I didn't access anymore. So it was hard for me to work through all those blockages and get through that. But I did, and I was successful ultimately to work through these things. And then I started to also see these things that I wouldn't see for years. My wife would see, notice these things, and I didn't, and I was frustrated about it. But that all changed at some point. And I think, you know, I take it in a way as something where I went through something that a lot of people go through, right? We, you know, most of us have forgotten who we are. And right now is actually a huge shift for whole humanity right now where people are waking up to, wow, I have this inner force, this inner power that's within me that's so much greater than just this physical self that we identify with. And having gone through that, I think gives me a pretty broad perspective. And that's also one of the reasons why I came up with these products, because they sort of bridge the gaps of these things and they help accelerate and help support our system as a whole, not just the physical system, but also the energy system on our way to where we're headed, which is basically our completeness.
There's a lot in there to unpack, but you intentionally learned to see these. And how do you know that your wife isn't just crazy?
It's a really good.
She's listening, by the way.
It's a really good question. So, you see that by results, right? Yeah. So that's basically what it is. You know, you can even do scientific testing on some of these things. But if anyone has a session with my wife and truly wants to know about some of the deeper issues that, you know, that you're struggling with in your life, go to her. She's never seen you before. You talk to her, and after that hour, you'll be like, wow, she totally got me. She understands who I am. She understands my problem. And she can even see what I need to do to change it. And that's basically the proof that happens over and over again.
And the difference between a crazy person who we've all seen, you know, standing on street corners with mental illness and all, is that there is no correlation with what they're saying to usefulness or reality. I have dozens and dozens of friends and people I know who have those same kinds of abilities. In fact, I get to look at some of their brains at 40 years of Zen, and they're different brains. In fact, you can predict from brainwaves whether someone is more likely to do that or not. And what convinced the skeptic in me, because we have a similar story. Now, I was working in big corporate America, and I did a lot of the personal development and energy work and yoga and some similar stuff. But when you talk to, say, two different shamanic practitioners, and they don't know each other, you've shared no information with them, and they both look at you and say exactly the same thing that is so bizarre that it could not be random. Like, you know, I see exactly something that looks exactly this way. That's weird. And it's stuck here in your aura. And you're going, when the first person says it, yeah, right, uh-huh, right. And how much was our session? You know, that everyone has a skeptic in them, although that's pretty much disrespectful. I mean, yeah, they're a con artist, but they're easy to spot after you've seen a few of them. But then when you see two, or in a few cases, three different people who don't know each other, who haven't been cued with anything, all see the same thing, you have to say there's something going on here, or you have to be one of those, I'm a scientist with a capital S, which means I have a religion. It means I follow dogma. That can't be, therefore it isn't. One of the most famous things happening right now with our scientific cancel culture, well, curious people like, it doesn't seem very likely, but show me your evidence. And yeah, it's interesting. And here the evidence is you've seen her have success in a way she shouldn't. So I'm going to say, all right, you've checked off the box that says you've done the work it takes to be able to do what you say you can do, that you're working now on your company, Lila Q-Tech, that's building technology, and I'm putting words in your mouth now, that actually you can see changes in energy with it, or your wife does that. How are you correlating the cool energy devices you make with the states you talk about? Like, walk me through that.
Yeah. So first of all, we work with a whole network of healers together, okay, healer practitioners. And one of them is my wife, but we have several others. And I want to mention one who's extremely special. He's called Roman Hafner. Mm-hmm. He's probably, they call him the Wunderkind in Europe. And in Europe, he's probably the most known healer that is there. Already when he was 11, he was on stage helping 300 people, telling them their life problems, telling them when they had cancer or something like that, because he was born with the ability to see all energy fields and all frequencies. And he didn't have this physical seeing, like you would see a glass as the matter and I would see that way. He didn't see that way. He only saw the vibration, the frequencies, the heat and everything. And
like Neo in the Matrix seeing zeros and ones?
In a relatively similar way. So the way I describe it is, so if you go into your living room and then someone tells you, okay, there's this white candle, can you please walk to that candle, pick it up, and take it into the kitchen? It's very easy for you to do. Now, if I told you, okay, so in this whole room of frequencies, there's a vitamin C frequency, can you see that and pick it out and isolate and put it somewhere else? You couldn't do it, I would assume, and I couldn't do that either. But he already, as an 11-year-old, could exactly do that, because for him it's like this living room, like all the matter. You can see all the frequencies, so he can isolate those frequencies, manipulate those frequencies, and that's why doctors hired him to actually, with patients they didn't know what to do with, they called him in to basically tell them what these people have, and then they started treating them. So yeah, that person we have basically as part of that healer network, and we develop those products first. Basically, with the ability of these healers to create the frequencies that, for example, promote inner peace or promote inner abundance or create the DNA and cell protector, which is also a frequency we have. And then we test it with them, and then we go further and go into the real testing and into scientific testing. So that's the cadence, basically. So we create something until we know, okay, it's basically ideal, but then we want to validate it. And from the very beginning, we started to do these scientific tests and studies because that's, I'm coming from both of those worlds, right? I could say, okay, well, you know, I know it works. All the healers know it works. The people have great results. Just leave it at that. But I think it's broader than that. There's so many people that may want to enjoy support like that, and they don't understand it. And for them, you need to, you know, provide something for the brain to read through it. And that's what we've done, whether it's dark field microscopy. We had the BESA Institute in Europe, which is the largest biofeedback and biosystem analysis testing institute in Europe. So they measure like the voltage in the cells and stuff like that. The EGIF Institute in Europe, it's the largest EMF research institute in Europe. They tested our products, and we've been doing even more. So we're working really on a lot of studies right now. And we're a small company. We're privately funded, and we want to keep it that way. So we don't have a multi-billion dollar budget to do these huge studies. So what's interesting is that things come up through our community. They find out new things that they were able to achieve with the products and or doctors. And then we heard about the Lyme disease, for example. Multiple Lyme disease patients would call us and reach out to us and say, hey, we've gotten amazing results. All the fatigue is gone. I feel like I'm in life again, and it's just so amazing. We heard that over and over again. We were like, okay, that's great feedback, fantastic. But now that we've heard it so much, let's just facilitate a whole study. So now we're actually working on a full-blown study here in the U.S. For chronic Lyme disease patients run by several doctors. Same happened with autistic kids. So actually several doctors in India that work with autistic kids found out that the products help the kids to start speaking again, help them to have a much calmer and better life in a way. And it happened, so they tested it, so they would just treat the kids on a Monday, for example, and the kids wouldn't know. And then suddenly Mondays were their best days, and they had a whole team of people just checking the boxes. Wow. And now they're running a whole study, and it was really them coming to us, not us going to them. And we also couldn't have done it and funded it even, so it's a real clinical study actually in India.
It's interesting because as a biohacker, it's okay to say, look, the body is a black box. I don't know what's going on inside a black box. In fact, we don't know what's going on inside our bodies. The vast majority of it, we know more than we used to, but there's so much we don't know. So if I do this and this comes out way more often than it normally does, then I have something that works if it does that reliably. Now, Western reductionist thinking has two beliefs that are false. One is that there's only one thing that causes it. And this is just a stupid thing, but we believe it. And the prime example there, bread. I baked the water, I baked the flour, I baked the yeast. All single variables, therefore there's no bread. Right? You have to do all three or it doesn't work. And so one belief is it's single variable. And the other one is that if I don't know the cause, it can't work. And this is a rampant thing in scientists. And that is completely false. And what I like to say for people like that is, oh, you need to know the cause for it to work? Leprechauns. There. Now you have a cause. And of course, they become outraged. But the point here is, if I do this and this comes out, your job is to eventually find the cause. But for this to cause this, you don't need to know a mechanism. It's not necessary. But we will discover that. But the first observation, right, is do this, do that. And so what you're hearing is people, they saw the observation. You probably don't know how this is affecting any of the conditions like Lyme disease or autism, which have some surprising correlations and similarities we can talk about if we get into that. Do you know why the LiloTech stuff is changing something? Like, what's it doing?
So we know it, frankly, and that's due to the ability to actually see it. Mm-hmm. And Roman, for example, could describe to you exactly like why it helps with Lyme, because he says that, you know, the high vibration basically of this block, for example, is something that the Lymes can't withstand, and that has nothing. It's just such a healthy vibratory environment that they just can't withstand it. Now, again, so this is first of all not a medical claim. That's how Roman describes it, right? And now we go in to actually scientifically prove it, basically. But the first thing is that, okay, he sees it, and then suddenly all these people come up saying, wow, you know, I don't have the fatigue anymore and all of that. So it's
Is it placebo, though? Are these people who knew that it was supposed to do that?
Or? No.
Okay,
no,
so...
No, because we neither made those claims, nor... So we were surprised ourselves.
Okay, got it. So there was no expectations
yeah,
there.
No.
But let me push back a little bit, though. Okay. The high vibration. So this is the energy cube. It's relatively heavy, right? Okay. I am an engineer by training. I don't see a power supply. Okay. This doesn't have to be a power supply. This could be an antenna that's picking up, you know, whatever magnetic stuff is happening. Same way RFID things work without a power supply. Vibrations. Which vibrations are we talking about? Vibrations. Which vibrations are we talking about?
So, have you ever sent love to someone?
Absolutely.
Did you plug your hand into an outlet? No. So that's.
Oh, I thought you meant like sending flowers, because it's so much easier than actually doing it with your heart. But okay, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. and have you gone into a room, and I know you have. Just for the listeners, maybe into a room or a restaurant, and there's, you know, multiple tables, and this one table, there's this very strange energy, and it's something you're like, oh no, I better stay away from that. And there's another table where it's such this welcoming energy. Okay, so we all know that all this exists.
No, we have to pause for a second here. Okay, so yes, what you just said is true. And it's so obvious because you've been practicing this stuff for 20 years that you can use that as an example. But for our listeners, there are many people who go, I walk into a restaurant and either it has like good lighting or it's noisy or it's not, and I sit down, right? So it takes an advanced awareness and perception to be able to sit down. And as this is actually a teaching from Dr. Barry Morguelan, who's a very high-level energy worker who's been on the show. In fact, he's going to be backstage and on stage at the conference here doing energy work for me. He does the same thing for Tony Robbins and... in fact, John Amaral, who also does it for Tony, will be here as well doing something similar. So, you know, he's got the ability. And he was teaching last weekend. He said, actually, what you do is you look around the object that you're looking at, because that's where all the information is. So we had this long conversation about how to do exactly what you're teaching. But it's an advanced thing. Like, to use this as an example,
right.
I will tell you guys, if you're listening, if you go to dinner with a grandmaster of a tradition or someone who spent 20 years or someone who has psychic powers, and you walk into a restaurant... and they say, go sit there, just go sit there, okay? And it's gonna be a better meal. And why? I don't know, tell me why. Do you know?
No.
I don't either. But I guess I have to do some more work. But there are people who can actually do that. And you pick a space, and you do it consciously. And then there are people who can make a space sacred. And like the shamanic
stuff. Yeah,
you know
how
to do that.
That works. And that's a similar way. So, I mean... what we've been able to do basically is, so this is, by the way, the actual technology that we're using to make our products,
okay,
which we don't keep for ourselves in the drawer and not give it away. We thought, okay, it's time to decentralize that in a way. So we've been able to concentrate this pure quantum energy in these plates and align them in a way where a very, very high concentrated field is actually not only a field, it's a multidimensional quantum energy space is created inside here. And the fun thing is that some people you won't be able to explain to how this observation works, and not everybody can feel it, but that's why we do the testing. And everybody can do these tests, for example, like I've brought some pictures here of dark field microscopy tests, because those are pretty visual, and you can relatively quickly see if something does something, and it's a real physical result. So if you leave your hand in there in just a couple of minutes, you'll see already a difference and improvement in your blood. And certainly depends on how sick or healthy and conscious a person is to begin with, right? There's certainly differences.
So when you say an improvement, let me do a quick intro to dark field microscopy for our audience. Some may know about this. There have been attempts to discredit this since it was invented, what, in the 60s or 70s? But there's valid information here. And the idea is, what if you looked at all the stuff floating around in live blood on a slide and saw the characteristics of that? Is there information in it? And the answer is yes, there is. And it's primarily, well, do you see stuff that's not blood in there? And what's it doing crawling around? That would be one thing. The other one would be, do you see stuff not crawling around that looks like toxins or a variety of things? And the other one is, how stuck together is the blood? And since you know, because you listen to the show, food plus oxygen equals electricity. If you can't get oxygen because your blood's all sticky, that might be a problem. So there's a good example of this. So if your blood gets less sticky or the critters stop moving or go away, maybe something happens.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So what's very typical, there's a lot of things you can see in these pictures, but the so-called money rolls is something that is really very noticeable. So this would be one patient here. This was a doctor's office actually in Austria that did these. And you see those money rolls basically like the little
the
coins.
Stacked up red blood cells.
Yeah, and so what that basically tells you is a higher risk for heart attack, stroke, heart disease. It's not a healthy picture of blood, frankly. And then so that person had the other one, the quantum block, actually, in this case.
The
smaller version of this was not as powerful as this, so it works a little longer. After already 5 minutes just placing the hands in there, it looked like this.
Okay, this is totally different. This is how healthy blood looks, because I'm not an expert in this, but I've done it enough times to be conversant.
Yeah. So that's almost instant, basically.
So you said this was a minute or two?
5 minutes.
5 minutes of their hand in, like mine. Now, I don't know if I would feel a difference from that. I mean, if I tune in and I do my best to get placebo out of there, which is pretty hard to do in a case like this, you know, it feels good, but it's also cool, right? Like I don't know that I can say I perceive a difference, but we have bright lights. Middle of an interview, and if I was to go tune in and, you know, do an A-B test, I'd probably feel it, but I can't say right now. I just got a zap of insight, and, you know, God's talking to me. Well, maybe he is, but not any differently than before. I'm not saying he is or isn't, guys, in case you're wondering there. I'm sure I offended half of people with either it is or it isn't, so there you go.
Since you get to take this home here, so when you meditate next time, just put your hand or your feet in there, or whatever body part,
okay.
And just you know,
any body part.
Yeah, and so you don't have to. So it's hard to observe the physical changes, right? Obviously, when the blood changes, how can we feel that? You may feel a little bit more energetic, or you feel. So some people can feel the physical really, but that's a hard thing to do. But if people meditate, you know, you can say. You went deeper and more quicker, possibly. So,
why isn't this big enough to put on your head? I'm not even kidding. Like, wouldn't you want to do your whole brain on this thing?
You people actually do that. I can't fit my head.
You're gonna
in
have
there
to make
either.
A bigger one.
So we're customizing one right now because there's a large juice bar that has about 10 juice bars, and they ordered customized versions so that they can put 5 big smoothies in at the same time and charge them for the customers. So they get a 12 by 12 by 12 inch one, and then you can definitely put your head in there.
Okay, that's cool. All right, I want a Leva Q-Tech hat. This is too way too heavy for that. All right, I've got to ask though. Okay, you talked about how you're sort of taking the technology out of labs, not just hiding it. All right, I see. I mean, it's not really a capacitor. If you had layers of metal that were insulated from each other, but there's metal connecting them. So this isn't a capacitor sort of thing going on. This isn't like a Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of tech. People think the Ark of the Covenant was probably a big capacitor from the descriptions of how it was manufactured in multiple layers of wood with insulating resin between them. Or not wood, of metals with resin between them. Or wood, whatever the heck it was. So like a Reich or an orgone technology kind of thing from Wilhelm Reich. Is this of that lineage, the Wilhelm Reich stuff? Is this Rife frequency based?
No, it has nothing to do with Rife frequency. Rife frequency is a real physical frequency, I would call it. It's also something that you wouldn't really want to use on a regular basis a lot. On a regular basis in a way, yes, but you wouldn't do that the whole day, for example. You couldn't.
That would
be terrible.
You.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the same with sound frequencies, actually. Yeah. You would never work with sound frequency unless you want to hurt yourself. constantly. So you want to target that. This is something you can constantly have, because what it does right now is you have your blueprint of your complete self, basically, whether that's energetically or physically. And this reminds you right now of that blueprint, and it helps you to basically integrate that and get more into your own completeness. And that's 100% exactly what it does. And if people...
we have to unpack that sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I gotta admit, you set off my bullshit filter 3 times with that sentence, right? And that doesn't mean it's bullshit, but it means that when I hear the words, that as my brain's trying to process them, I'm going, wait, hold on. I don't get it, right? And I'm open to all this stuff. And if I didn't think there was something going on here, I wouldn't have you on the show, right? So walk me through what you're explaining there, but do it a little bit slower. Yep. So that I can fully absorb that. And I think it's going to help our audience too.
Yeah.
Right? And it seems obvious to you because you work with us every day and because you've spent a lot of time meditating and because you can see energy fields. By the way, I don't see energy fields unless I'm in very altered states from neurofeedback or I'm taking drugs.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't really take drugs lately. That's just, I haven't been called to do that, so...
Yep. It's a great question. And I'm actually glad you're asking that, because indeed it's some, and I know of course that there's so many people out there that have a hard time to understand this. Still, I want to mention that sentence because in essence, that's really what it does. Now we need to break it down in pieces and bites for people with these studies and say, okay, so if you put your hand in there, this is what's going to happen to the blood. If you put your knee in there, this is what's going to happen. Or if you put your plants in there, for example, or you put it just close to your plants, they grow twice as fast.
This plant was only 4 inches tall when we started the show. If you guys rewind, it is.
So those are very, very tangible things, but all comes back to this very essence that it supports the expression, basically, of your ideal self, and that's physically and energetically. So physically, we're bombarded with bad air, bad food, Wi-Fi soups, etc., right? It's all something that doesn't support us on that level. It actually is something, it's one more hurdle, one more challenge for us to physically be in optimal state and also energetically be in optimal state, right? It basically confuses our system constantly. So this does the opposite of it. It neutralizes these harmful or potentially harmful frequencies and supports us in this original, you know, working towards this original blueprint, right? And yeah, there are lots of different concepts of how this body gets created and all of that, but there's still this blueprint. And who manufactured that body there? That's within you. So that's the strength and that's the connection. And if that gets all forgotten and you start to just take in bad water, bad food, and all of that, you start to deteriorate.
It weakens the system, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that's basically, in essence, what it sort of neutralizes and reverses and supports the whole system, really holistically, with that. And you can have pretty instant results with it, but you can also have results that just take some time because you need to work through things, because not everybody's the same, right? And that's also just a misunderstanding of the modern science, that everybody is exactly the same and I prescribe this one thing and then it always does that.
That's false. Everyone's exactly the same. That's why everyone should be forced to take exactly the same medical treatments, because we're all the same. I totally support what you're saying, so I'm glad we could straighten that out.
Yeah, so in essence, so that's really the essence. And then we need to try to break it down for people. Okay, so what can you do with it? And so one thing is you just have it sitting at home, and then basically provides this energy field for your whole home. Actually, this actually would have a radius, visible radius of up to a kilometer.
I was going to ask how big of a radius. So up to a kilometer?
This one, the small one that you know, the quantum block, has about 145 feet radius.
Okay.
Which covers like a normal home. This one really would cover a whole farm, pretty much. Whereas
I happen to have a farm. All right.
So the EMF harmonization and neutralization that we've proven multiple times with multiple studies.
But it doesn't actually neutralize EMF. Wi-Fi still works. I mean, I could get a signal on my phone. So What does neutralization mean the way you're using it? Because I know, but explain that for listeners, because that doesn't sound credible if you're going to neutralize a thing, but it still works.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a difference between actually blocking EMF, neutralizing / harmonizing EMF. So we have some products like our clothing line that actually blocks
EMF. Where's that hat you gave me? Is that actually
here.
All right, so this is the hat. And so what's going on with this?
So there's a high purity silver fabric inside. That also we have a t-shirt and some other products where we use that silver fabric, and it physically blocks the EMF. So you could take an EMF meter. Awesome. Take an EMF meter and you can literally measure the difference, right? It's really blocking the signal.
Uh-huh.
Now, it wouldn't be so helpful if you want to work at home and you want to receive phone calls and do your work. To block that off, right? It's also not necessary, frankly, because what's possible with this device is that, or also with a capsule that you could wear, it harmonizes and neutralizes the radiation in a way that it's not harmful to your physical and energetic body anymore. And it can be measured. Okay. And tested and studied. And so we've done that. So you would still have all the signals, which you want, but it doesn't affect you in any negative way. So that's kind of a nice thing. And it can do that. So this, not in the whole kilometer, but up to about, we measured it 400, 500 meters. And the outside other 500 meters, there's still something, but it just helps with just a few percentages of that. Yeah.
So does it drop off at the cube of the distance the same way as EMFs do, like the signal strength?
Yeah, so it's really, this is up to a kilometer, and the strong field is about 400, 500 meter, and you could...
So it's more linear, it's not like a cube exponential?
Yeah, we even haven't figured out the complete reason to why that works, because we have developed the ultimate package of this, basically, where you can, if you get two of these, you can endlessly upgrade the concentration of this.
Like you stack them on top of each other or something?
No, you would basically charge one in the other, and then the one you just charged is seven times more powerful than the one before.
Yeah.
And so on and so on. And first, we thought when we were experimenting with it, okay, so when we have the next generation, the second and the third generation, if the first is already a kilometer, well, you know, where's the second going to be? But the second was also at a kilometer.
So you just build a bigger one around this and then a bigger one.
But it was
that.
More concentrated.
Oh, wow. Years ago, I was at a place that I'm hoping is still open. I heard they were having trouble, called Red Rock Coffee in Mountain View, California. So when I still worked in tech and I had just started talking about anti-aging and some of the things that I was working on. And this guy who was two generations of technologists ahead of me, you know, an older guy already, I was probably early 30s, late 20s. And he said, I want to show you some stuff. And he was really excited. He said, I hold the patent for 802.11b, the first wireless technology ever. So I'm the guy who invented it. And if you go back in Silicon Valley, you look at the real history of Silicon Valley, the whole place exists not because there's a university there or something. It exists because billions of dollars in 1940s dollars went into radar and signal development in a secret project in the Bay Area. And all those people went on to start Fairchild Semiconductor and all those things. So these are military trained specialists. So anyway, this is that lineage that's been going down. And he said, look at this. And he turns his laptop around. And there's a diagram of a human. And it's got the chakra points all illustrated. And he said, I said, oh, great, you know, picture of chakras. I do yoga too. And he goes, no. This is what happens when I take the $1 million test equipment for signal strength analysis that we use to optimize our Wi-Fi antennas. And I turned it around and I looked at the human body. And he said, I'll be damned if there's not data in there that you could use for a diagnosis. Right, so this is a hardcore, grizzled, what we would call graybeards in Silicon Valley. I don't know if that's politically correct, but these are basically engineers who know their shit, right? And they can walk in a room full of young engineers and they can snap their fingers and solve the problem and no one knows how they did it. One of those guys, like the wizards. And he's saying, you know, I've been doing hard, you know, chip level stuff, but there's something here. And that was intriguing. And then you get the work of the HeartMath Institute, where they talk about, you know, heart rate variability, coherence between multiple people and animals, and it's provable stuff. So you're familiar with all this stuff. I'm mostly sharing this with the audience to say that there's something going on. But if Wi-Fi can be harmful, and we emit a Wi-Fi signal, and we can also use EMFs for healing, which we can, there's nothing that says you can't modify EMFs, including Wi-Fi and cell phone signals, to be good for humans, or at least neutral for humans. Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit arrcled.com.
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
There's nothing that says you can't modify EMFs, including Wi-Fi and cell phone signals, to be good for humans, or at least neutral for humans.
So we've done actually multiple studies on that. I think we have about three studies that were done by the BESA Institute. Then the EGF Institute not only tested the blocking effects of the clothing, but they also tested the actual harmonization aspect with the heart rate variability study, so that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And for people that don't know that, the heart rate variability is directly linked to the autonomic nervous system. And yeah, you can measure that. So you can measure someone just as is, and then you can blast them with EMF. And actually, we've done tests with all kinds of EMF, right? In all kinds of situations. We even had the Institute go get an electric car, and then they put the people inside, gave them a laptop, iPad, iPhone, and all of it, right? Really, just to see, okay, what happens, right? And then so then you test these people again, and then you introduce the product, and then you can test again. That's pretty much how it works. And the heart rate variability was also done in a little bit longer period, so they tested the immediate effects and then the near-term effects. So yeah, we've done that pretty extensively, actually. So EMF is probably the most testing we've done, because it's frequency-wise, there's so many potentially harmful frequencies out there, but EMF is the one that most people are familiar with, and that's why we also focused on it, because it's a concern for people. I must say, though, that EMFs are not bad for everybody. So not 100% of the people are impacted. And what I know to be true is that if you're super healthy and you're very connected and tune in with yourselves, means you have unlocked already quite some of your consciousness, EMF doesn't bother you an inch at all. None of our healers is impacted. They could sleep underneath a tower and it wouldn't matter. But the problem is that 99% of the people don't have that ability or capability. So they need tools in order to kind of, you know, bridge that gap, if you will.
Even if you're one of those people, though, you don't...
You wouldn't want to do it, because it's just also bad view when you wake up, right?
Right, you just look at those big metal things. But it's not good for you, but it's trivial. But you take someone like that and you give them some mercury, some lead, some nickel, and magically they will be less resilient, and then the impact of EMFs on them would be higher. True. Or I guess
I think it depends on the person. If you took Roman, probably it would still not matter.
Yeah.
Up to a degree probably.
There are some people who have, you know, superpowers that are hard to believe in. I've seen some of their brain waves and some of their abilities, and I study with some of those guys, because you're saying that ought not to be possible, but I've seen it over and over. Chomet did that, right? Now, one thing that keeps happening, and this is interesting, I'm using a wireless mic. And as soon as I put this thing on my arm, my wireless mic is right here, about, you know, a foot away from it, it's shut off twice, okay, as a brand new battery pack, and I've been using it all day reliably. So do you see this happen? People using wireless gear really near a device that shuts off?
Not usually. No, right. Haven't been reported. If that keeps being reported, okay. We'll follow it further. But
okay. Well, I was just wondering because that's odd, and it's strange because you'd say, well, those are independent. I know two different really high level energy healers, like people who've written great books or are grandmasters, and I'm not naming either of them because I don't know if they'd want me to name them. But both people I know and trust well, been to their houses kind of people. And both of them know that they can't use wireless microphones, and their teams all know that. Their audio video experts have given up on it, and they have wired microphones because these people have enough power in them that they will break wireless gear reliably. One of them, I was a very dear friend, spent Christmas at my house with me, has a stack of cell phones because he burns them out. Right? So there are such people. Do you know anyone like that?
Yes, I mean, but not to the degree that they would burn the cell phones, but frankly, they would make sure that they don't burn the cell phone because they wouldn't want to burn it. Yeah. But they would have that ability, yeah.
Yeah, well, this isn't like an unconscious thing. It's sort of, you have three of them because one of them will mysteriously stop working unless you're really dialed in. Like, all right, give me the next one. But that's how one of the guys deals with it. And it's one of those things where I'd say, this isn't possible. I mean, heck, you work for T-Mobile, right? Like, this isn't supposed to happen, but it does. It just doesn't happen in a great percentage of people. What's up with the signal or the picture? Is that like a sacred geometry or is that your Leela corporate logo?
Well, it's kind of both because with every frequency and also these blocks, we've come up with mandalas specifically to accompany the energy. And so you, for example, here, this is a...
These are the little cards you put in your pocket?
Yeah, and so this is the DNA and cell protector card, for example. And so once the frequency is created, we go in and work with someone who's a clairvoyant, and she's an artist too. And almost all she does is she creates mandalas and specific art related to certain frequencies and energies. And so we ask her, so for this specific frequency, can you please create a mandala? Because we want it to match, to look nice and beautiful, and to match the energy of the frequency. And that's pretty much the same with this as well.
All right, guys, that was the third time my mic pack turned off. So if that doesn't normally turn off mic packs, it's because it amplified my power that I am now a remote control for reality. Does that happen a lot? By the way, my ego is smaller than yours, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, we haven't gotten those reports before, but that it increases your power, for sure it does. But power in a different way than people think of, not the electrical power. But really, your true power certainly okay. Got a little boost. That you have that anyway, always. Right? We always have that. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand. It's like, okay, so I need to get this power. No, you always have that. It's just a matter of unlocking the access to it,
right.
And you always have that full consciousness available. It's just a matter of unlocking that, and that's basically the process. So that helps with unlocking that.
Okay. Do you ever worry about making a Darth Vader?
Some people not at all.
Some people are dicks. Okay? And you unlock their full power, and they're a bigger dick.
So here's the thing. So this device cannot be used for any negative or manipulative purposes.
Okay.
So it's hard to categorize into negative and positive because there isn't really such thing. On one level, there is, but there's... Because you can do something negative and something positive comes out, right? Or you can do something positive and can still have a negative effect. So it basically separates between harmful for consciousness, harmful for a physiological organism, and life supportive. And everything that's life and consciousness supportive gets boosted and supported, if you will, and everything that's harmful or potentially harmful for consciousness and the physiological system gets neutralized. And that's also one of the things that on stage we'll show an allergy test. We knew it helps to neutralize also those quote-unquote negative frequencies.
Neutralize,
for example, if you're allergic to shrimps, we had this person that reported over and over again that he had such, he cannot eat shrimps or anything like that, and he has certain other allergies as well. Then I don't know why he did that, but he put the stuff in the block for 5 minutes, and then ate those and had no allergy whatsoever.
Now, I wouldn't recommend that if you're anaphylactic, guys.
Please
that sounds a little risky.
That's still something to be further explored, but it does have these physical effects. And you can copy frequencies with this, right? Any frequency that exists, you could put a vitamin C pill in here or a leaf of a healing plant and put it in there with a glass of water or with a piece of metal or whatever you want, and within seconds that frequency is 100% copied over
into the water
for, as an example. I mean, water is really easy to actually absorb frequencies. You can drink it.
But couldn't you take poison ivy in water and do something bad with that?
So that's the thing. So you could do that, but the whatever is harmful for your body then as a reaction based on the poison ivy frequencies would get neutralized. So you would only basically, after that, have something like almost like a clean product that, I don't know if poison ivy would have anything positive for you, but let's say it did.
Kind of then, homeopathic something.
I don't know. And then those negative effects would basically be neutralized. That's pretty much what it does with herbicides and pesticides as well. And we've gotten it so far to actually have that studied and tested. But now this is a whole new level that Ian Mitchell, for example, has been doing these allergy tests and actually trying to, with a normal allergy test that you would do at a doctor's, you know.
The skin prick, yeah.
Exactly. And then you would see all the red and swelling, you know, when you're allergic. And then you take the same substance after it was in there for a few minutes and it doesn't do that. Okay, so yeah. There is indeed physical evidence across the board, and we're just scratching the surface, to be honest, as far as that goes. But you couldn't copy a fear frequency or something like that, for example.
Okay. And that's just because of the intention that you guys put into it, or the spacing of the plates. Like I'm still trying to figure out. Like
I don't know if that goes too far for some of the listeners. It's basically because of the consciousness field. Yeah, it just.
So I learned, years and years ago, I took a class. It was a class about how to leave your body, right? Which is a known energetic technique. Like there's lots of ways to teach it. And it was from a Portuguese guy, and I'm forgetting his name right now, who had taught like hundreds of people how to do this and said, all right, why don't you guys all go out in astral travel and come back and tell me what you see, and then we'll make a map, right? And it was fascinating stuff, and I did learn how to, you know, leave my body consciously and all that kind of stuff. It was just a super cool weekend, and this is like 20 years ago. One of the things that they taught though was how to look around in a room, and how there is an energy in a room. You know, if you're going to live in an old church, you might want to clean some of the garbage out, and all the movies about, oh, you know, you're living in a house on a pet cemetery. You know, even a room in an old building where there was a cross on a wall and someone prayed to it every day. There's something left, and you can take three people who don't know anything about it and go, that wall's different, right? So yeah, there is an intent. And frankly, when I worked for Bulletproof and had a relationship with them, the intent of what I do was in the products, right? And now that that relationship has changed, it's not in there anymore, right? It's in my new stuff. And we make our intent go into things, and energetically powerful people probably are better at that. I don't have data that says that, but I just see it. So you're saying you and all the energy people you work with, when you're manufacturing these, I mean, are you playing sacred music? Are you meditating? Are you sending lasers out of your foreheads? Like, how does that actually work?
No, we're doing none of these things, frankly, because the most important when you create that is that you're fully there and present with your full consciousness. So if by the way, even though I probably could create a frequency, I don't consider myself to be that advanced that I would create these frequencies and release them to the public, right? That's why we work with really the best of the best, like a Roman, for example. And Roman doesn't need to do any yoga, meditation, or anything ever, because he's just always instantly in that state. And you can I mean, there are days where maybe he's worked for 12 hours a day helping people that he says, today, you know, I just can't do it. I'm just too exhausted. I don't want to just move even more energy. But that's, you know, he would just say that. Otherwise, he's always constantly there and makes sure we get the 100% right frequency, for example, in the product. And I'm there helping to facilitate. And then we use the technology to, you know, press it into these cards and duplicate it and all
of that. So he's designing the energy and you're somehow capturing it. And then you're pressing it into what the coating on here is. It's in the coating. It's in the metal.
Yeah. So with the frequency, for example, it's pretty much imprinting. So what this does is anything you put in here, you imprint pure quantum energy into that object.
I mean, when you're making the thing itself, like, are you imprinting it? You know, you talked about imprinting from Roland. So, I guess what I'm.
So that's the first charging of this is a proprietary process that we can't share how that actually
works.
Is it done with
technology or with human beings? Is what I'm saying.
It's proprietary.
I won't even tell us. So there's a fire circle and there's leprechauns. I gotcha.
Yeah, there are different ways actually in how to achieve this. And then it took us a very long time to figure it out exactly how to get this power, if you will, in there, and that it doesn't stop vibrating in this way. But then making these frequencies, so when the frequency is created and then it needs to be pressed into a card, you could do that at home also, right? So if you wanted to, let's say there's a special nutritional mix that you like to take, for example, you could put that inside and create a card for yourself with that nutritional mix in here. And what then actually happens is we have two groups of people. One group is that they actually can completely reduce the nutritions that they're taking. It's very fascinating and interesting. I don't recommend people do that.
So they take a vitamin C and some water, they put it in, or in a card, like one of these cards?
And then they use the card and then they have the frequency of the vitamin C. We have a whole bio-base card actually that in this heel capsules that frequency is included. It's about 78 different minerals and vitamins.
The heel capsules are in those little pellets that go inside the necklace.
Yeah,
you're wearing one. Yeah. My daughter stole mine. You guys sent me one, and as soon as she saw it, she's like, I really like this. What? And she just grabbed it and stole it. So okay. So what's in there's five purple little like medical grade titanium beads in there.
Exactly.
What is on those five beads? Like, what are they imprinted
That's
with?
Just pure quantum energy, and
all
basically helps to boost out the frequencies even further, so that your whole system can leverage it. But anyway, so that those vitamins and minerals, you can leverage them on a frequency basis. And again, some people don't need the physical substance then anymore, and then other people, for them, it's like that the physical substance, when they take it, has a much greater effect than before. It's almost as if the bioavailability increases off that because you have that frequency as well. So it's pretty fascinating, actually. So you can do these things on your own, and that's pretty much how we do it as well. Just that, you know, there's molecular frequencies, how I would call this bio-based mix, for example, or if you took, you know, a healing plant, would copy that into something else. And then there's etheric frequencies. So with those two, you can do a whole lot of things. You can use sound frequencies also and copy them if you wanted to.
How would you put a sound frequency in a device like this?
Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit more complicated, but you could basically capture the sound with a glass of water.
Okay.
And then from there, you could copy it into another object. You could take a whole Mozart piece if you want, basically, and have that frequency in there. It's sounds crazy, but it's absolutely easily possible.
One of the guests who's been on the show, who I really appreciate, is Stan Grof. And Stan Grof is a researcher from Czechoslovakia. And I say that because that was the name of the country when he was there. It's currently the Czech Republic, or Czecho, as they renamed it, but no one uses. And Stan gave 3,000 patients LSD clinically as a psychiatrist. And over the course of 40 years, invented the field along with his wife of transpersonal psychology. So a lot of the stuff that you've studied falls under the rubric of what Stan did. And when LSD became illegal, he brought out holotropic breathwork. And holotropic breathwork is something that you've seen James Nestor's talked about on the show, but Stan came on, he was 94. I think he's probably 97, 98, 99. I did an event with him where we did his breathing for a lot of people in what would now be called the Upgrade Collective, my mentorship group. His probably most famous book, though, is called The Holotropic Universe. You familiar with it?
No, I've not read that book.
Okay. The supposition there is that everything in the universe is a hologram. And the interesting thing about holograms is that you can take a hologram and break it in half, and each half of a hologram contains a picture of the entire thing. So if it's a hologram of me, you break it in half, you got two of me. You break it in half, you got two, et cetera, et cetera. And you lose a little bit of fidelity with each one. But the whole point there is that the universe is probably made out of a whole bunch of little hologram bubbles. Nassim Haramein has been on the show as well, who's a theoretical physicist who does something called the Resonance Academy. Have you seen his work?
I've heard of him.
You've probably come across him somewhere or another because similar realms. And the reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is when you're saying this kind of amplifies your signal, makes you more of what you are. If any of these theories has relevance or accuracy, or they're just good working models, those provide evidence points that possibly something can be going on with this. But the fact that you're warning me, don't overdo it, I will just say flat out, based on everything that I know, you can manipulate frequencies in the human body. Humans can do it to other humans if the humans are trained or just naturally gifted. Different places on Earth can do it to you. Different electrical devices can do it to you. We've had the biocharger people come on talking about that with Rife frequencies, basically, and a bunch of other stuff. We've got your tech, the Leela Q Tech. I don't think I've had anyone come on with crystal healing, but I don't know enough shamans and crystal healers, and I use some in meditation, and they work, right? So all this stuff is out there. I feel comfortable saying something useful is happening, but I don't feel comfortable saying that we know how or why. How far along the how and why frequency are you? Like how much do you think we know compared to what we would want to know about this?
Yeah, so I think it's a good point because science is playing catch up with these things. And Ian Mitchell brought up a good example the other day. He said, you know, hey, if you went into the 1600s and you gave someone a smartphone from today, it would work for them, you know, and you could show them all these different things and
they'd burn you with a stake.
But they couldn't. Now I asked him to explain, you know, what this is and how it works. And they couldn't do it because they simply wouldn't have the words for it, right?
Right.
So it's similar with this that I think to scientifically explain how it works, it takes time. So we are starting to be able to explain certain of these processes, but by far not everything. We can scientifically prove what it does. That's relatively easy and validate that.
And you've done several
studies. Yeah. But the actual process, you know, we can describe it in the way that I've described it. And yeah, Ian Mitchell is actually working on a science paper right now, which goes a little bit more into scientific depth about how it works. Because, you know, if you see these results over and over again, and it's not like that we've done like one test, like it's almost incredible all these different studies that have been done and all with 100% results. It's not just like, you know, there's maybe 10% here or 10% there, or is this 9 people affected out of 100? No, it's we're talking it works the whole time. And now we try to actually go more into the science, but science is really playing catch up because these are some things that they're hard for science, frankly.
Well, if in order to believe that a certain thing is possible, you have to say, it looks like 20 years of my career, I've been wrong, right? Even if you've been mostly right and you had a good model, right? But sometimes you're saying, admitting that is, it's too big of a failure and people just, they're unwilling to do it. That's why we have so much dogma in science. And then you get the funding problems, especially in medical science right now, where if you say that, they cancel you and take away your funding, right? Even though what you're saying might be true.
Agree. And that aside, you know, the world needs more scientists like Ian Mitchell that are truly open-minded and that have this curiosity of, hey, if there's something I don't understand, that's what we're now for. Let's figure it out. Let's explore this, right? Yeah. And not, okay, well, I don't want to deal with it. You know, it's above my horizon. I just stay in my little box. which we find in a lot of modern science today, unfortunately.
What was that first step of the scientific method? Observe. Whoa. What if we observed things instead of only observe things we believe are possible? Right, because there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and it sounds like you just got there from, you know, corporate America, working for VP level at publicly traded companies. Kind of boring. At least it got there for me. And then you said, "All right, I'm going to do the personal work," and suddenly here you are making Lila Q Tech things. I'm curious to play around with this. I'll have it in my room tonight before the conference. So if I can levitate on stage, you can take credit for it. All right.
All right. Right. But that is one of the things, you know, why I left the corporate world at some point, because, you know, at some point you realize, okay, you know, this, like you said initially, some of these things you don't really talk about, you can't be your full self in that world. And yeah, so that's, it's good to have that experience though, I think.
It is for two reasons. One is it makes you a little bit more credible. If you'd have said, "Well, my parents raised me without clothing in the wild until I was 20. Okay, that's an interesting story, right? But it's sort of like you don't know what it's like to be normal. It is what happens when people are too out there. And you're saying, "No, I did all that and I did this." And that makes the possibility for other people, "Oh, maybe I could do it too." Same thing, losing 100 pounds and getting over Lyme disease like your wife had. Like they said, I still think Lyme is toxic mold, but that's a whole different conversation. That whole, you can get over it, you can do something. And so I think it's really helpful that you live that life, because it lets you run a company effectively, but it more importantly just says you're normal and you do this, versus if you're just, "I've never been normal." I think it loses credibility. So we need more people who've done the corporate America boring, picket fence thing and said, "I tried it. I needed something else." All right. So thank you for stepping up and being willing to do that. All right, guys, as you know, anytime someone comes on the show who makes cool stuff, I'm like, you got to give our listeners, our community a discount. So Philip was kind enough to do that. LeelaQ.com, LeelaQ.com. Use code Dave10 and they'll give you 10% off everything on the site. And there's definitely something going on. I don't know why it keeps turning off my microphone, but it's not the batteries we checked. And maybe it wasn't the tech. You say it doesn't normally do that. Something weird's going on. And I'm feeling a little bit different from this, kind of a little bit more caffeinated than before. And I'll try out the hat as well. Can't say whether it works or not, but I understand silver, understand how that works. But you've put quantum energy with intent.
Yeah, and it's been certified, actually. So it's a really fully certified product.
Can I charge the hat inside the energy cube? I mean, if I do this, is the hat going to gain superpowers?
It has that already, because we've done that for you, but that's what you could do. Yes, and if you have other silver clothing, for example, then you can certainly charge it in there. Yeah,
what
absolutely.
About,
like, put your phone in there, for example.
Really? What does it do to phones?
Well, I don't want to say that you then have a healing device in your pocket, but it does change the impact that the phone has on your physiological system. So.
All right. That's pretty cool. I want to see a study on that. But in the meantime, let's see. If I leave my phone in there for 5 minutes, what could I possibly lose? 5 minutes of scrolling through Facebook. Oh, no. All right. So there you go.
3 minute max for a phone in the infinity block.
Really? What happens after 3 minutes?
Every time there's metal involved, no more than 3 minutes. That's a whole nother discussion on why it's just
block,
so you kind of overcharge it then.
It doesn't harm the block, it harms the
No,
device.
It doesn't harm the, it also doesn't harm the device. It's just something, there's certain aspects that why you don't want to do it, but it would take a little bit to explain it now and go into some details. We have, it's very simple to use, it's super simple, but the only thing to watch out for is metals, just keep the maximum charge times that we mentioned on the website.
It's an inverted U response curve. Is that what we're talking about? Like with a lot of devices and with light therapy, like if you get none, it doesn't work very well. And then in the middle, you get a good amount. But if you keep going too far, you start getting, it's not harmful, but you get less of an effect from it. So I imagine it's probably similar to that, but whatever it is, I won't fry my phone.
That would have been already enough anyway for the phone. That's a pretty powerful, it works pretty fast.
Beautiful. Well, Philip, thanks for being willing to explore the edges of stuff. I still want to know what the heck is going on in here, but inside there's no chips. What the heck? But I do believe the studies you're doing, and I can tell, you're saying, look, we have people who can see stuff and do stuff, and we learned how to repeat it. There is validity to that approach, and I'm really curious to experiment more with what you've got going on. So thanks for doing something cool.
Thanks for having me, really.
All right, guys, I got a few more interviews for you that I'm doing here at the Biohacking Conference. And if you're curious about the Biohacking Conference, go to biohackingconference.com. We'll probably have the conference proceedings, but more than 100 vendors, 150,000 square feet. And if you thought biohacking was a fad, it's been around for 10 years now. It's a new word in the English language in 2018. And yes, my name is there in the online Merriam-Webster's dictionary for it, which is super cool. And it's a growing community with literally millions of people around the world, including Latin America, throughout Asia. There's Russian biohackers. There's European biohackers. So it's a global movement that says we have control of our own biology. And now is the most important time to remember that, that you must have control of your own biology if you want to change it, you want to upgrade it, you want to improve it, or you just want to manage it effectively. You've got to be the one who makes the decision about which technologies you use and you get to use. Have a wonderful day. See you soon.
You're listening to The Human Upgrade with Dave Asprey.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.